Support comes from the law firm of Thompson Hine, delivering employee benefit solutions uniquely suited for your business. More information about Thompson Hine's employee benefits practice can be found online at thompsonhine.com.
Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. The holidays are a good time to take a break and remember what's important in life. Coming up, we'll hear from two Columbus natives who took that break some years ago and now had growing charities that have particular meaning for them. The rest of the year, wow, it's easy to let the distractions get in the way. Columbus resident Jason Barger is a leadership development consultant and author who believes that it's possible to stick with our priorities all the time by remembering. His new book is called Remember, with a capital M, first M, Renewing Our Memberships, Relationships, Focus in a Distracting World. His last book is called Step Back from the Baggage Claim. It's propelled Jason himself into a very busy speaking and leadership development business, traveling the world to deliver his message and gather more stories for his latest book, I think. He's with us today in the studio. Welcome back, Jason.
Good to be with you.
Your last book, Step Away from the Baggage Claim, used air travel as a metaphor for ways that we travel through life. Different people travel differently, and how we can affect the world around us differently. Likewise, this is sort of a next step book.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still the strange guy that slept in airports across the country and then, you know, quit my job and wrote that strange, but... Yes, you said it more eloquently, the book Step Back from the Baggage Claim. You know, it's really been about a conversation and about the impact that we all have in the culture of the spaces that we move in and out of every day. So, yes, using that metaphor as the airport was the beginning of this, but really it was about a conversation about how we just move throughout the world. And fortunately, people began to resonate with that idea of how do I move throughout my life? How do I move throughout my business? How do I move throughout my school, my community, and ultimately the world?
We all know that remembering is to recall an event from the past.
Yep.
What do you mean by the word in your book?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm inviting us to think about the word remember slightly differently. The first thing is in the midst of a busy and distracting world, which I know, you know, you referenced that in the intro. We live in a more distracting world than we ever have in the history of the world right now. The marketers say that we are bombarded by 3,000 messages every single day coming at us, trying to steal our attention. The Harvard Business Review recently came out with a study that they did that in an average day that modern workers today were shifting their attention from one thing to the next, one task to the next. Like 496 times in an average day.
I'm nodding my head.
Yes. So we are in a very busy and distracted world. And so the book is asking the question, are we busy or are we effective? And not just in the sense of business effectiveness, although certainly teams and organizations that I've been lucky to serve and continue to serve are making that connection of, if I'm only 33% productive in a day, you know, where is my focus and where is my attention and what do I need to give my eyes to? But also for us to think about, what does it mean to remember in that distracted and cluttered world, that we need to remember things every single day, like purpose. What is it that we're actually trying to accomplish? What's our mission? Who is it that we're really trying to be? How are we trying to lead? And then to think about, so that's remembering, you know, bringing back to our attention, to returning again in mind and in thought to who we want to be and what impact we're trying to make. But then what does it mean for us to remember, to renew and recommit to the memberships in our lives, to think about ourselves as parents, as, you know, the relationships that we're in, our marriages, the teams and organizations that we are a part of, the membership organizations that we serve or we belong to. You know, what is it that gets our attention? And are we busy, just running around scattered, or are we truly effective?
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. I'm talking with Jason Barger about his new book. It's called Remember, Renewing Our Memberships, Relationships, Focus in a Distracting World. There's a great story you tell in the book when you made the recent reference to, or are we running around, you know,
yeah.
like like chickens with their heads cut off.
Yeah, yeah.
You have a great story in the book where you were invited to a company by thoughtful, caring people who buy into your philosophy and had read and your last book and invited you to come and speak or somehow lead some kind of a leadership training thing. And you showed up and no one was there to greet you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
At all.
And I'm not going to name this organization by name. But
they cared enough to invite you. They just couldn't remember that they had.
That's right. That's right. So, and well-intentioned people, and absolutely they were connecting to the spirit and the message of everything that I'm doing. They had already asked me, booked me for a couple of speeches to be a part of helping to develop their people and their culture and thinking through that kind of clarity of mission and vision stuff. And so they already, as you said, they were into this, and certainly we're seeing that they needed to be investing and thinking about how do they help pull themselves out of this distracted world. But they called a meeting with me. This was to talk about how are we going to develop their team and their culture over the long haul. They invite me into this. I come in. I sit in the waiting room for, 30 minutes or something. And finally, I get up and I start to question the receptionist, in a very nice way, of course. Uh-huh. Am I in the right spot? And they said, oh, yeah, what's your name again? And they'll be out. Yeah, they're in a meeting. It's running late. They'll be out in a few minutes. And so I sat back down. And then about another 20 minutes came by. And I'm looking at my watch because I've got another meeting to get to. Finally, they come out and they are just... You can tell their mind is still left in the meeting they just came from. They're scattered. And they look at me and they said, okay, so what are we here to talk about?
They didn't even know you were
there. And I looked at them as if I was in a Saturday Night Live skit. I'm looking around wondering, okay, who's going to come out here and this is a joke on me? And I looked at them and said, well, you all are the ones who called the meeting. Remember, the speeches that you asked me to do. And here's what you wanted to discuss. And they just looked dumbfounded at me as like, oh, yeah, that the very nature of the things they were trying to get at, of slowing down and getting away from the distractions and thinking about developing their people, their culture, and that vision for what they were trying to do, they were clearly so distracted they couldn't even remember that that's what they wanted to do.
And conversely, you were on some mission, you were helping build houses somewhere, and you did something you did every year, and people were already purposed. They were doing good. They were helping build houses for somebody, I think it was in another country.
Yeah, right.
And so what's to meet with, what's to meet about? And you said every day we're going to stop and we're going to gather in a circle and we're going to talk about why we're here.
Yep.
And some people were like, oh, my God.
Yeah, right.
Are you kidding me? We have work to do.
Yeah.
But tell us what happened with that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was fortunate, and one of the most significant parts of my life is to be able to lead and then take people to build houses internationally in Mexico and the Dominican Republic. And the people that I got to serve with and then certainly serve these families that were literally living in the dirt, and then to be able to build a house for them was a phenomenal experience. But every year I would gather with all the adult leaders and the quote unquote foreman of each work crew that was going to make sure that these houses would get built for these families. And we would gather together and we'd go over all the logistics of the trip. But then I would give that challenge. I would say every single day, I want you to pull the work team aside every single day. And I want you to take 20 or 30 minutes. And I want you to gather and put the tools down, stop the working. And I want you to ask two questions. How do you feel about what we're doing? And what do you think we ought to do next? And then just get out of the way and let the group connect for a few minutes. And every year, many people saw right away that this was a great thing and they jumped right in again. But there were always the people every year that would challenge me on that. And they just couldn't see how this was an efficient use of our time. They were so focused on the building of the house, and they bought into this idea that if we took any time that we actually wouldn't get the house built. And they bought into this, what I talk about in leadership, is this myth that the faster I run, the further I get. And yet the reality is, it's just not true. The faster I run and the more things I try to do does not mean the further I get. And so I would say, would you please just trust me on that? And some did, some didn't. But every single year, we'd gather, every day, we'd gather. And I'd ask those questions to the group that I was working on. How do you feel about what we're doing? And what do you think we ought to do next? And then I'd get out of the way, and they'd, you know, immediately they'd start saying, well, how do I feel about what I'm doing? They'd connect to the building of that house for that family. They'd think about that.
It's okay to sit and talk about something like that.
Yeah, well, what you saw was how energized the group became because they connected back to the purpose of why they were there in the first place. And then the secondary question is, what do you think we ought to do next? The group started to self-correct. They'd start to say, you know what, my arm's getting tired from hammering over here. Can I switch jobs with somebody, and can I come over here and saw? Somebody else would say, I noticed that we're bringing the wheelbarrow, all the materials around over here. We're going all the way around here, that if we just changed our path, it'd be quicker and we'd be more efficient. And we say, okay. And so we'd make these little corrections along the way, and we would come out of those breaks, what I called purposeful breaks, better than the way we had entered them, all because of 20 or 30 minutes to step back and connect to and remember what's the purpose. And then to be able to say, okay, where are we trying to go and how can we be most effective next time? So the faster I run, the further I get was not true. But every time we took time to step back and connect to those things, we actually were moving forward.
Success in business is defined by how you manage the obstacles and delays. I read that in your book.
Yeah.
And it sort of felt to me like looking at life in relief. In other words, like a sculpture. So it's not what's there, it's what's not there.
Mm.
And to see that.
Yeah.
And to see things in that way.
Yeah. Well, that quote comes from Howard Behar, who was the former president of Starbucks. And when I first met Howard and we connected to this whole step back from the baggage claim idea, and then he helped, I collaborated with him on the business edition of the book. But that was the first thing he shared with me, is that success in the world today, in this very fast-moving, changing, distracted world, that success is not going to be defined by your intricate business strategy. You know, and he went on to say, of course, yes, you have to have a good strategy, and yes, you have, of course, all the baseline business fundamentals you got to have. But he says, I'm telling you, your success will not be defined by that. Your success is defined by the way you respond. You and your people respond to the obstacles, delays, and cancellations that show up along your path. And so this idea of remembering and renewing is really about, in the present moment, do we recommit to a vision that we have? And then are we able to respond with compelling action and leadership and the people around us to move closer to that goal?
Coming up, we're going to talk with some folks who have taken an experience in their lives, one good and one not so good, and let it recalibrate their priorities, finding a big way to give back to the community. You referred to a Japanese proverb that I think fits their paths.
Yeah.
Vision without action is a daydream. Action without vision is a nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you got to have both, right? You got to have the vision for what is it that you're trying to accomplish. What is that? And I say to teams and organizations all the time, I believe in long-term visions, but short-term plans. You know, the days of the long-range plan where you try to figure out 7 to 10 years out, every T is going to be crossed and every I believe doesn't work anymore because the world is changing so quickly. And so, but I do believe in long-term visions. What is it that we're trying to be about? What is it that we're trying to create? And then short-term plans. And then, which, you know, we're going to get to here soon with the great examples that you have with us today, is then what's the action? How do we then respond with compelling action to say, okay, today we can't solve everything in one jump. We can't go from, I say to clients all the time, we can't go from A to Z in one jump. All we got to do is go from A to B, and then B to C, C to D. And so what does compelling action look like today that's going to move us closer to actualizing that vision?
I'm talking with Jason Barger. We're talking about his new book. It's called Remember, Renewing Our Memberships, Relationships, Focus in a Distracting World. If you have a question or comment for Jason, you're welcome to join the conversation, 614-292-8513. Coming up, Pat Wim Brown of Hair Theater and the Hair Theater Wig Fund, and also Kate Gatch, founder and executive director of Bike Lady, Inc. Stay with us. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about the process of renewing our relationships, our memberships, and focus in a distracting world. We all know about the distracting world. Now we're going to meet a couple of people who have emerged from the distraction with very personal approaches to making this a better world. Still with us is author Jason Barger. We've been talking about his latest book, Remember, Renewing Our Memberships, Relationships, Focus in a Distracting World. Joining us now is Pat Wynn Brown. She's founder of the Hair Theater Shows, which she performs across the country, and the Hair Theater Wig Fund, which has reached a very important milestone this year. We'll talk about that in a minute. Welcome back, Pat Wynn Brown.
Thank you, Anne. It's good to be with you and Kate and Jason. I'm loving this. I learned so much from Jason. I really did.
Also with us is Kate Gatch. She is the founder and executive director of Bike Lady, Inc. And I don't know if you're reaching a particular milestone this year, Kate, but it's a much greater reach than you ever imagined with your bike project. So first, Pat Wynn Brown. Anyways, Kate, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Anne.
Pat Wynn Brown, I talked about you guys are like two sides of the same coin in a way. Something, you know, bad happened, cancer, and you used that experience not just to internalize it and become a better person and that kind of thing. You went out and took a real definitive action.
Yes, and I think on two fronts. I started the Wig Fund, but I really didn't give it a thought about my cancer when I started the Hair Theater Shows. I was first diagnosed in 97. I was re-diagnosed last January and have had surgery and I'm fine. But I started doing the shows because I think my best gift that I used to get detention for in high school is to lift spirits. And by telling my stories and by talking about silly things that I think are really funny with audiences. But I wanted to do something to give back because all three of us were brought up in Columbus. And I think we try to live the spirit of Columbus, which is we help other people. And we were taught that from a very young age. In the schools, the sisters would give us milk cartons and we were to collect money for the pagan babies. And so we started with that. And if you had a dime, you gave a nickel for the pagan babies. And so I was taught in my neighborhood that you help other people. I was taught by the families who did very well in our city to help other people. And I'm thinking of, God bless, Bob Lazarus. The Lazarus family did so much for our community while we were growing up, while Kate, Jason, and I were growing up here. And he'll be remembered December 22nd. But that had a huge influence on me. So when I started doing the Hair Theater Shows, I thought, I need to give back. It has to do with hair. And I'll start the Wig Fund. And later I reflected, oh my gosh, you know, the first time I was diagnosed, the first thing I thought about was losing my hair. And the second thing I thought about was my mortality in that order. I did not lose my hair. But the Wig Fund now at Columbus Foundation has grown to over 1,000 women and girls through every hospital in Columbus. Wigs are about $250 to $350. Sometimes insurance does not pay for the wigs, even if you have insurance. And in these economic times, the need has gone up. But it has been a privilege. And I think Kate and Jason would agree that the giver receives so much more than the receiver when we do what we do. The other part of hair theater is that I'm able to also help other people tell their stories. And with the children in the Dude Show, with the ladies who are just in the Hairdo Monologue Show, mm-hmm. and their physicians and hair people, when they told their stories, they signed up in order to help other people understand what they were going through and what the audience was going through, but they all said it helped them heal their own hearts and their lives. And I just took the DVD we made to Paris and showed it at the American Church in Paris to a group of women from all over the world, and that humor translated. And all I started with, first, let's talk about when your mother cut your bangs. And then we took it from there, and it was a huge success.
Because everybody
it's universal.
That butchery that occurred.
That's right.
Back when we were little girls. Kate, you had a happy, positive experience adopting.
I did. I became a mother at 41. Mm. adopting a little baby girl. And I simply wanted to do something for Franklin County Children's Services and kids that are in the system to share my joy. She was, the adoption was final. She was turning one at Christmas. And so I went to go buy 10 bikes. And
well, you asked them, what can I do?
Yeah, I asked them. I said, what do you never get? What can I do? What do you need? You know, what are you short of this year? It was Thanksgiving weekend. I want to go do something. And my caseworker and I, as well as the administrators of their Holiday Wish program, you know, we talked about it. And bikes, we never get bikes. So I went to go buy 10, and I bought 26. And it just snowballed from there with friends and relatives and neighbors. And then this awesome woman who had a fabulous column in the Columbus Dispatch.
Stop right there.
Was her name Ann Fisher?
Her name was Ann Fisher.
Thing that always amazed me when I learned about your story was the fact that kids who are in foster care can't go swimming in the neighbor's swimming pool. They can't do sleepovers. They can't do this. They can't do that. They can't go on field trips, which is amazing and shocking. And that ought to all be fixed somehow. But that they can ride a bike.
They can.
And most of them don't own a bike.
And most of them don't own a bike. That's right. But it is a way that you get to be just like any other kid and have a regular childhood experience when you're 8 and 10 and be the same as the other kids on your block. And just enjoy that freedom and experience and the wind in your hair. But then for the older kids, it's very difficult for a child in care to get insurance. So therefore, it's very difficult for them to have a driver's license. So for a teenager who wants to be on a sport team or have a part-time job, this is transportation. So it's a very practical gift for them to have as well.
Now,
as
you
joyful.
Started out just that first year. That was it. That was your, this is.
Yeah, I was just going to do 10
bucks. 1 year.
Yeah, I was going to go do a little something good.
This was like 6 years ago, right?
Right. This is the sixth year.
And I think that the turning point for you was when you were in the Walmart, I think it was that day, and they were lining up all the bikes and you were getting ready to leave.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah, that very first day when I went in there for 10 and you know, the manager at the store worked with me on price, offered a free helmet for every bike that I was going to buy. And I wasn't incorporated. I wasn't a charity. I was simply a mom, just a regular average day. Still am just a regular average mom.
Up a dozen or
yeah,
so
the associates were helping me take all 26 bikes up to the register. And this is the Saturday after Thanksgiving on that big holiday weekend, and place is crazy and distracted and even sometimes rude, and everybody stopped what they were doing and they're whispering, what's that lady doing, and word kind of spread in this little hushed, you know, environment at all the Walmart registers on Morse Road, and people came up and gave me money. They said, here's $5, I've got $5 on me, you know, if you can get another bike, go get one. I was like, wow. I mean, it was a moment of epiphany, for sure. Mm-hmm. It was.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about some moments of epiphany for a couple people. Jason Barger, when you listen to these stories, it sounds like, I hear people telling stories about getting away from the distraction.
Yeah, yeah.
And finding their purpose.
Yeah, I think there's many common themes here, yeah. but people in their lives that were able to kind of step back and think and remember purpose and think about who do they want to be and what impact do they want to make. But then also through those distractions to then say, I have a vision that I can help in some way, that I can throw a pebble into that water and watch. And I don't know where the ripples will go, but I can do something. And then that they were compelled to action. And then to say, all right, well then,
and then do it again.
I'm going to just do it. And then to be open to where that would lead. And so, obviously, I mean, we didn't say it this way, but the theme that I would hear is that you were compassionate, caring, loving people and thinking about how to bring that kind of spirit to life in the world.
Yes. And what's so important for people to understand is when they often feel that hole in their life, and there's something missing, this is the component that's missing, is to connect and to remember and to be part of community. And I call it in my hair theater shows, it's a health and beauty aid. The people who have this in their life look better than those old pinch, stingy pinch people. And no needles necessary. And you know what it has to do with, too, is power. We are so distracted and overcome and overwhelmed with the problems in the world. And I talked to a person Saturday at a party, and we're powerless. It's, you know, all these problems, we can't do anything. But I saw Bobby Kennedy speak in Columbus in front of the Neal House right before he was assassinated. And he talked about the power of one person to be able to make a difference. And all three of us, and Anne as well, because she makes a difference every day on WSU, we know that one person can change the entire world, because you cannot pluck a flower without moving a star. Mm. It's all connected.
You, Kate, were a big-time business person. You're like a big shot.
I'd like to be again.
But you had these. But you had these skills.
I did. I did. Well, I mean, you know, I had left the corporate world because I didn't go and adopt a baby to not be at home, right? So at the time that that Bike Lady first started in 2008, you know, I was still working full time and no, actually, I'd quit by then, right around then. But like we talked about, I remember distinctly, I was driven for many years to hit my quota. That was my job satisfaction in life. I was a salesperson, to make my flight on time, to score that major account that was so elusive. And I wasn't looking for something. I mean, I think a lot of people that start foundations or charities, they do feel a hole. They are looking for something. They have a traumatic experience that they need a way to constructively get through life, right? To handle their grief or whatnot. And I wasn't remotely aware of what I was missing until it found me. And that was... you know, a really great experience. So I used to have an adage that you were touching on a minute ago, Jason, and I forget who said it, but some historian said, I can't do everything, but I can do something. And that was kind of how I thought about Bike Lady every year. Well, this was a really good year. Didn't expect to do this. I'll try and do it again next year, you know, and just kind of let it have its own life. My new adage is, when I do bad, I feel really bad. And when I do nothing, I feel nothing. But when I do good, I feel amazing. And I try and focus on that. I fail a lot of times, but I do try and focus on that.
And hasn't it been interesting with the Newtown parents who have taken their grief from the shootings of their little children and turned that into positive action in society, and people in our own community who have taken their grief, the Tiberi family, Rachel Muha, my friends the Jenkins who work for tuberculosis, leukemia, and they take that pain, and instead of crawling up in a ball and saying, how could the world do this to me? Right. They say, what can I do to affect the world, because I want this to have meaning and purpose?
Jason, what do you make of people? There's so many people like that that do that. I mean, that runs half the world. You talk about power and taking control of things.
Right.
It's a way to empower yourself, but other people don't, and it's okay if they don't, but what's the difference?
Well, the word that keeps coming to my mind as I'm listening to is this idea of ownership, and that not only is it fabulous when you talk about giving a gift of a bike to a kid or a, you know, that gives them, hey, this is now yours to own instead of renting, this like permanence that comes rather than this temporary thing. I mean, that's a really powerful thing, but also that people at some point are taking this personal ownership over their situation, and not that we alone as can solve all the problems, we can't, and we alone are not cannot do everything, but yet we do play that role in it. Do I want to do good? Do I want to do nothing? Do I want to do bad? And then to say, what is that ownership that I'm going to have to try to bring that vision to life today, and am I willing to then take some action to do it? But we have to be the first ones to kind of own that vision, right? We have to be the ones to take that personal ownership.
It must be scary. I mean, was there a point, Kate, when you were sort of overwhelmed, scared, like,
You know, I mean, I'm a single mom of two kids because I ended up adopting
so
a second time.
That's a
you know,
daily
I mean, I have a 4 and a 6-year-old, right?
Okay.
And I,
every morning.
You know, every time I get in bed at night, boy, I sure could have handled that differently.
You know? Of course.
Yeah, every night. That stinking thinking thing. And every year I wonder if I have the time. Every year I wonder, will people still believe? Will they still donate? Because I don't do this alone by any means. I mean, I try and keep the train on the track.
By the way, how many bikes are you up to now?
This year alone, right now we're at 1,052. But with funding that's still in the bank right now, we'll go over 1,100 for this year, which will be 3,500 over.
And they don't.
And they all go to foster children. Yeah, and we'll do 16 counties this year.
That was going to say.
First, only Franklin County Children's Services for the first 4 years. Last year was Franklin, all the contiguous counties. So, you know, your Delaware, Madison, Licking, Fairfield, plus Lucas County. And then this year we doubled again. So it's 16 counties. And it's about the same amount of bikes. Last year was 1,147. And this year will probably be just about dead on the same. Some of the local counties didn't need as many. Their wish list, and they send me, you know, the genders and the ages of kids. So the bikes are specifically delivered for their kids in care. But it's sort of a sad reason that we expanded out to additional counties this year. It's because there's so many kids still in care this Christmas that were last year and already got their bike. So it's a bittersweet expansion to go to a total of 16 counties this year.
We will continue our conversation with Kate Getch, founder and executive director of Bike Lady, Inc., Pat Wynn Brown, founder of the Hair Theater Shows and the Hair Theater Wig Fund, and also Jason Barger. His new book is called Remember, Renewing Our Memberships, Relationships, Focus in a Distracting World. Asking our listeners, is there something that's changed in your life that made you reach out and change the world around you, even if it's just a little bit? Give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. We're talking about finding the priorities in your life that make it better, taking some time out to figure out what those are. With Jason Barger, his new book is called Remember, Renewing Our Memberships, Relationships, and Focus in a Distracting World. Jason, once again, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Good to be here.
And Kate Getch, she's founder and executive director of Bike Lady, Inc. Kate, once again, thanks for joining us. And Pat Wynn Brown, founder of the Hair Theater Shows and the Hair Theater Wig Fund. Sometimes, Jason, you know, you're doing good, doing good, doing good. Everything's good, 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 good. But sometimes the process of that alone starts to drain you.
Yeah, absolutely. We all have to find time to step back. You know, again, the faster I run, the further I get. We talked about that a little earlier, that we live into that myth and we think that if we just run faster. But yet I can tell you from my own life personally and some reference as a parent, as a husband, as a friend, and certainly then with the teams and organizations I serve, I am a better human being. I'm better at what I do when I find time and make time to step back and think more thoughtfully through that. So I see it every day in my own life, but then I also see it with the teams and organizations I serve, that the ones that are the healthiest are the best are the ones that are intentionally taking time, carving out time within their teams to step back and say, okay, what's that deep breath? And say, okay, where are we? Where is it that we're trying to go? What does compelling look like to us? How are we going to reconnect to that purpose? and then let's get really clear on where we're going, how we're going to get there, and now let's catch our breath here and let's step back so that then we can move forward, or else we just get in that rut of doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Yeah, Kate, you were talking about how you were starting to apply your what motivated you in your work in the sales business when you were in sales to Bike Lady Inc.
Yeah, you know, I think it's just an intrinsic part of my core personality or nature that, you know, there's a goal, let's go out and achieve it. And sometimes bulldozer, you know, people and things in the way because they're
the
way, right?
Out, yeah, right?
Go, 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 running as fast as you can. Sure. And Bike Lady has certainly helped me step back and change or constantly strive to be better, even if I fail on a pretty regular basis. But what we were talking about at the break is that I started to see that I started to get focused on the goal, on the numbers, how many bikes, how many counties, how many prisons can I get assembling them? You know, that's not what we're here for. It's one kid. It's all that matters. One kid. If I can help one kid. And so to take a minute or two every day and refocus. That was very good advice for me.
What about you, Patty?
I think the thing that works for us and works against us, we three have drive and determination and persistence, and we know how to get the job done, and we know how to make it happen. And so sometimes we will make it happen if it kills us, but we have to take Jason's advice and step back and just keep a loose hold on it. This afternoon, I'm meeting with Pauline Russ at Ohio Health, and we're going to bring the Hairdo Monologues DVD into a premiere in Columbus. I am very detail-oriented about production, but it also drives me crazy because when things don't happen, when I have an obstacle, I think it's some kind of plot, conspiracy, and perhaps even Satan
trying to do me in.
So I've got to take this advice this afternoon at 2:30 and to plan this, but to keep a loose hold on it and always to remember to laugh. We need to laugh lots and do good. Mm. We need to laugh lots first.
Tom in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Tom. Tell us your story.
Well, I'm a video producer, and a number of years ago, I met a gentleman named Dr. Leopold Bliss, and he was literally the world's leading expert on Alzheimer's care. He was a consultant to the Alzheimer's Care Center and several other places. And he spent 40 years figuring out ways to help make patients with Alzheimer's more comfortable and help families maintain better, more rewarding relationships and ways to cope with some of the challenges, like somebody asking the same question over and over and over and over. And just some of the, I don't know, sort of hallmarks of it. And in the process of looking to do a project, I had to learn a great deal about what he knew. And the project never happened. But any time in my life, I ran across somebody, you know, my wife's mother has been diagnosed with Alzheimer's. I would offer some of these tips. And every single time, oh, thank God you told us this or that. And so finally, I'm a little slow on the switch, I called Dr. Liz and invited him to lunch. And I said, I got a deal for you. I will donate the crew and the equipment and the means to produce a DVD and a CD book with your ideas. And I'm not going to pay you a dime. And he agreed. Now, I produced it. I'm sorry to take so much time. I produced it. His theories that he came up with comes under the rubric art, accommodation, respect, and tolerance. And so out of respect to him, I named it The Art of Caring, which is the stupidest thing in the world I could have done in terms of getting the word out. Do a Google search for The Art of, and you get, 56,000 hits. At any rate, I'm just trying to get the word out about it. Everybody that I've given away more than I've sold. There, the lady that said she has production experience can appreciate this. Each set sells for $25.
Okay.
That includes the packaging and the replication and so forth. So it's just cost recovery.
Okay.
There we are. And I'm still delighted that I did it, and I'm one of those people who's not going to give up, and I'm going to find a way to get the word out.
All right, Tom. Thanks a lot.
Can I give you the website?
I'll take you off the air, and then you can give it to my screener, and he'll get it on the website. Thanks a lot, Tom. Keith in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, it's good to hear. Good to talk to you guys.
Hi, Keith.
Hey, I'm actually Kate. This is Keith from Columbus Outdoor Pursuits.
Hi, Keith.
I heard your show.
Keith is. I don't know. Are you currently the president of Columbus Outdoor Pursuits Board of Directors?
Yes, I still have that.
Yeah, they're big supporters of bike lading.
It says here that Kate inspired you.
Yeah, I tell you, it was a few years ago. I was going through a bad time. I was on the board of Columbus Outdoor Pursuits, but I wasn't doing a whole lot, and I was having some issues with my bosses at work, and my parents were dying of long-term illness, and I was just in a bad place. And I heard your show, just the tail end of it, where she was talking about buying bikes for foster kids, and I said, that is something I can get behind. So I lobbied for a position on the COP board that distributes our we donate money to projects in Ohio related with bicycling. I said, nothing's better than a kid on a bike. So I got our first donations going to that. And since then, I've become more involved with both Bike Lady and Columbus Outdoor Pursuits. And we try to do everything we can to just help her out and also to make our outfit, you know, just a better. We do outdoor education.
Mm-hmm.
And we also put on things like the big ride down to Portsmouth, Tawserve. That's our baby.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, Great Ohio Bicycle Adventure. We put that on, and that's actually where the proceeds to help out the Bike Lady comes from. But I just, you know, that whole, just hearing that show really changed things for me in that venue, just being able to say, hey, I don't see any better thing to do than to see that you can put a kid on a bike. That's just a great thing to do, and it's really made a difference for me.
Thank you, Keith.
You bet. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you, Keith. You know, he makes me think of something that, you know, I think we come up here a lot. We're on the show, or you're on the news, or all those people that sit behind you that are silently, you know, helping you achieve this goal or achieve your vision. Those people don't get to have this experience. They don't. In my case, they don't ever get to see the kids get the bike. They have to imagine this happening for a stranger they will never meet. And so Keith and all the other people that would support my organization or POTS or anybody else, they are so important. And so when we're talking about people giving back and doing great things, there are people that do and there are people that donate. And the two do not exist without the other. And so, people will come to me and they say, oh, here's, you know, $20. I wish I could do what you do. Without that $20, I don't do this. And so, I don't know, I guess just a shout out to everyone that supports any organization. It matters.
It does. It matters. They think it doesn't, but it does.
It does.
The same with the volunteers at my shows. They're called the Hairnets. And they dress up, I must say, as trollops, except when they're nuns. And then they're nuns. But they are the backbone of making this happen. And they help me so much. Because I'm doing this sort of alone with the help of donations, but when it comes to the shows, they're there for me to help me through. And the Hairnets make it very funny. They really do assist with these shows.
Let's talk a little bit about how both of you kind of took it to that next level and you kind of stepped back from the baggage claim a little bit. You thought about, well, what else can I do besides provide wigs to women who have lost their hair from cancer treatments or give bikes to kids. And Patty, you did something, you gave people voices.
I love that. Growing up, you know, I had a disabled vet dad and we weren't to speak of this to a soul. So having a voice with the shows and using my humor that I used to get through my childhood was important to me. And then in some of the, you know, there's a variety of episodes. So I did a show with children who had gone through chemotherapy for their diseases and had them tell their stories, and then they gained power over their situation. And then recently, I did the Hairdo Monologues with women going through breast cancer with a surgeon, with a radiologist, with hair professionals, and they told their stories. And then the audience was blown away. You were there. You're in the video. We made a video of this experience and got it funded through Kickstarter. And I'm now able to take that and show the video, because there were 40 people involved in that show. It took a year to produce it. But I can take that, as I did to Paris, show it to these women, and then we discuss it, and it's almost the same experience. And it's helped it become global, actually. And it is universal. This sense, it's more a sense of not so much hair as much as it is when you tell your story, you become the star of your script, and you're no longer a victim. And I love that about it.
Once again, Jason, that power thing, that control thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I think there's this moment, right, where every day where we get an active choice of how do I want to respond, and what is it that I want to put out into the world? And the other thing that I hear echoing throughout everything we're talking about is this sense of gratitude, too, this gratefulness that I'm lucky to get to do what I do, to be able to give the gifts that I do, and also realizing that, and it's no different from what I'm doing now, too, than listening to you all, is you have to have people in your life that support you, and whether it's a physical thing like a bike or a wig or those kind of things, or it's people that just say, I believe in the message and the spirit and what it is you're trying to extend into the world. And so much so that I want to stand behind that, but I'm going to continue to remind you of the importance of that, and that I want to help share it. And then every time it's shared, it spreads. That's the way anything good happens in the world, is somebody says, you know what, I'm going to share that with somebody. And it spreads to you and to you and you and you and all around the world.
Kate, you spread it in a direction that a lot of people wouldn't. You took a lot of the bikes you get a really great deal on them, but they come unassembled.
That's right. Last year, I've always wanted to do this. I've always known of Huffy has an excellent, and most of the manufacturers do, have an excellent 501c3 charitable program. You can acquire unassembled bikes at their in-country cost and pay the freight to get them here from wherever they are. I chose to work with Huffy and was able to do that only for one reason, because I don't have a warehouse. This isn't my job. I don't have, you know, physical volunteers available to assemble. But another former foster parent who also has adopted, you know, we had lunch 2 years ago and just talking, what do you want to do? I was like, if I could only buy them from Huffy, because I'd get more bikes, there'd be more kids, you know, but how am I going to possibly manage, you know, a whole hundreds of bikes and assembling them? And she said, call a prison. She was a former, you know, security person, guard at a local prison. And I made one phone call, Pickaway Correctional Institution, and they said, come on down. So I have a crew of 16 men, pretty much a lot of the same men as last year. They're a JC group, just like our normal community JC group. Inside, they're a JC group that are assembling all the bikes. That, in essence, allows me to get two bikes for the cost of one over retail. And then that's a lot more kids and a greater expansion out into more counties. And so that's the number side of it, the business side of it. But it lets those guys do something. It lets them feel good about something. It's a compassionate and an empathetic experience for them. Some of their kids are in foster care. Some of them grew up in foster care. So that's one thing that I particularly love about, you know, what I have chosen to do, is everybody who touches the bike in the process, it's a little bit of a gift for them and a little bit of a gift from them. The inmates, the caseworkers who get to distribute the bikes out to the families, the caregiver who gets to be Santa Claus and give the bike, and then obviously ultimately the kid who gets the joy of riding the bike. And then in the background there is all these people that say, gosh, I believe in what you're doing and I want to participate. They get a little gift, too, and it makes me feel pretty good.
That's pretty cool, Kate. Thanks. We are out of time. We could go on and on and on.
And thank you, Anne, for giving voice to all of these causes, because that's part of the process. And you're very, very good about that and having us all on. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. That's Pat Wynn Brown, founder of the Hair Theater Shows and the Hair Theater Wig Fund. Also, Kate Gatch, she's founder and executive director of Bike Lady, Inc. Thank you, Kate.
Thank you.
And Jason Barger, he's author of a new book. You might remember Step Away from the Baggage Claim. His new book is called Remember, Renewing Our Memberships, Relationships, Focus in a Distracting World. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
Thanks to everybody for listening. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News.